You know, it's the power of prayer and the power of spirituality and the power of faith is integral to being an artist. I've done it without it. And I've been in dark places where it's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to pray. You know, this is all on me. I'm a lone wolf. And
it's all bullshit.
Yeah, thank you. Like, there's no way to, it's all bullshit. Like it doesn't mean anything if you're not connected to your source, yeah. Right? It doesn't mean anything if you're not connected to your purpose and connected to a higher power and connected through prayer and meditation. It doesn't mean anything, you know, because not even on booking wise, I'm just so grateful. And just the littlest things have been happening for me and just those moments of prayer, I would not go through my day without praying.
Hi, everyone. I'm Natalia Ochoa, and I was so inspired to create this podcast because I want to share a piece of wisdom that I'm integrating into my life currently. We all have the ability to create our own reality in which we can heal ourselves. Hopefully, through the conversations I'm passionately sharing, you'll discover the power of your own intuition.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited for today. I am speaking to one of my dearest friends. We have started our journey in acting school from Syracuse all the way until now. And what has really kept our relationship so glued is our spiritual journey and awakening. And that's what always brings us back. And through all of our challenges and struggles in our career and in finding true happiness, we talk about how our spiritual practice is just the center of it all. So I am so excited to bring you Eddie Ramos. Here's a little bit about him. Eddie Ramos is an actor and the founder of The Modern Actor. He is proudly from Queens, New York, and graduated from Syracuse University with a BFA in acting and a minor in political science. In sync with his many juicy roles, he founded The Modern Actor to be a platform where he helps young actors navigate through the beginning of their careers. He offers his thoughts and experiences on the daily life of being a young actor in Hollywood to promote both prepared and confident artists. He's condensed what he's learned in 17 years of acting and transformed it into actionable lessons, products, and tutorials to teach you how to become a successful actor. He believes that it may not be a secret formula because he doesn't believe one exists, but he shares his journey and the journey of other actors in order to guide you along your path to your acting success. So, without further ado, here is my beautiful, beautiful friend, Eddie Ramos. Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Leah, how are you doing, my love?
I'm good. I'm good, my love. I'm so, so excited for this conversation and to be talking to you today about all of the juicy things that we always talk about. And I'm like, you know what? We have to talk about it now in this platform so we can share our knowledge and our wisdom of all of our really intense conversations that we always have.
Yes. You know, the last time that we hung out for 7 hours. We spoke for 7 hours and it didn't feel like it, but I'm pretty sure it was like 7 hours. Cause I remember getting home that night and being like, A, it didn't feel like 7 hours. And that was awesome. We had like, and B, it was so much fun.
That's amazing.
It really was. And we walked around your neighborhood and we like explored different parts of your new neighborhood.
Which, yeah.
How are you liking it?
Yeah, I think it's great. I walked to the park today and I was earthing. So do you know about earthing?
Not really. Maybe. Tell me more.
Oh my God, you're going to love this. So earthing is basically when you put your bare feet on the earth and you allow just the energy of the earth to come and go into your body. Because basically in the beginning of time, obviously we didn't have shoes, you know, we slept on the floor. So we were always connected to the earth and it actually lowers inflammation. There's a whole book that it's called Earthing and it talks about all of this. It's said that it can reduce stress and anxiety if you put your bare feet on the ground for 20 minutes a day. Like they take the cells and actually like the blood cells look completely different after 20 minutes of physical contact on the earth.
And all I have to do is walk around like on actual dirt, like not mm-hmm. on concrete or not in my home. Like it has to be on some dirt or can it be sand, like the beach also?
I'm not 100% sure about sand, but maybe in the ocean. Yes. Like for, you know how like the sand in the ocean, because it's the element. So I would say that, and I would say definitely on dirt, not concrete, right? Because concrete is not connected to earth.
Block of the earth. Right. Sure. It's in the way. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. That where? In your neighborhood at the park?
Yeah, I just went this morning at the park just because I needed to center myself. And so I just like laid back to myself in the tree and I just took off my shoes and I just like closed my eyes and felt the sunshine on my face. And then it was like a meditative experience, but like I wasn't thinking about anything. It was just like feeling all the elements.
I love that. You know, I'm very tactile as well. And as an actor, I noticed that when I am on set or anytime, I will grab dirt and I will rub it in my hands. Like I just did a commercial out in Utah and I felt like I was losing it. And the director was kind of, we were not connecting. And I was like, kind of took myself to a side a little bit. And I was like, Eddie, what the hell? You know, like, come on, dude. Like, you know, this is what you do good. Like you do this well.
Yeah.
But literally I took my gloves off. I had these gloves and I just grabbed the dirt and I just like kind of, I just kind of felt that for a second. And, you know, so I'll do that. I'll touch a wall. I'll touch the person I'm working with. And it's not in a weird way or anything, but just to be tactile, you know what I mean? Just to feel energy of another person or the energy of the room. I feel like that definitely grounds me. So yeah. It's interesting that this is like there's a whole science behind it because I think I was doing it unknowingly, but it's great.
I mean, yeah. I mean, because you're very intuitive, obviously. So it's a really great practice and especially for pregnant women, you know, that have a child to be that constant connection. I mean, think about it. Right now I live in a second story and I sleep on a bed. My connection to the earth is like non-existent.
Right. Absolutely. You're so far removed from it.
So far removed because so far up. So that's why, like, I think like after a day, you know, at laying at the beach, you know, you're connected to the sand and you're like actually laying there. It just informs everything.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And how often do you do that?
I mean, I wish I did it daily, but honestly, I do it. I listen to my body. Whenever my body is like, I need to feel the earth, then that's what it is. And I start noticing it when I start going into my bad habits. So when I start to maybe like craving a lot of sugar or like just like eating cookies, you know, cause that's like my go-to when I'm like stressed or if I feel like I've given a lot of energy with like my healing work, I'm just like, you know, because it's draining to hold space for people. So you need to feel replenished.
Absolutely. And it'll definitely refuel you, refill you, reignite you. That's why I love the nature. And I mean, that's why I moved to California in the first place. Like we talked about this, like,
yeah.
Every time I'm driving in LA and I'm just like, oh my God, maybe I can move. And then we get like a beautiful day. And it's just like, where else in the world are you going to have this amazing weather and the opportunity to be out in nature in December at any given moment? If Eddie or Natalia, like, you know, if I'm feeling it, like, I'm pretty like you, like pretty much like you, if I'm feeling like, nah, dude, you got to be outside or you got to go to the ocean. This city really allows you to be in nature. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah, totally. But you can do it anywhere, right? Because like I'm in LA, but like I went to the park, you know, and it's like, it's not anything special because if you're in any part of the world, it's really great for you to just actually get connected. I mean, think about it, like kids, you know, when they play outside and it's just like, they're just so activated and they have so much energies. Cause like, you know, it's good for kids to be rolling around in the dirt. I think so.
Oh yeah. Me too. My kids will definitely be like eating dirt and just rolling. I want them to like get dirty. I'm all about that. I'm all about that. My little brothers are 16 and 19. Mm. And you know, the 16-year-old Daniel, he's starting to work out, but I'm like, let's go climb a tree. Like, let's go into the lake. You know what I mean? Like, let's go swim. Let's get sweaty. Like, I'm all about that.
Absolutely.
I hope that kids are still like reaching back into that. You know, a lot of with the technology and everything, I think that's another block from nature, right? Another huge removal from that nature, from that natural grounding, like you're talking, earthing that you're talking.
Yeah, yeah. And what it made me think of was actually for you to talk about your experience, because you spent a good, I think, 2 months, you went back home to New York. And we talk about this all the time, like living in Los Angeles, we're so fortunate. And the way that me and you, our perception of life is to always be growing, right? Which I think is a really beautiful thing because we're evolving beings, right? But sometimes you kind of need to step out of it so you can give yourself a break and start integrating the work that you're learning. But I wanted to ask you about your experience because I think that you started gardening, right? In New York. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you can call it that. So when the pandemic hit, You know, I, like many other people, was kind of in that balance of, do I stay in the city or do I go back home? And I decided to go back home and be with my family. I went in by the end of June, I think, and then I stayed until like August. And so my family home, we're from New York, and we have a home upstate, about an hour and a half, very close to where they had the original Woodstock in the 1960s. So like, it's by Bethel, New York. So it's rolling hills, farm country, like Hicktown. There is nothing going on. And as a child, I really detested it. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be in the city. I wanted to be in Queens, where I'm from. Like, you know, like, there's nothing to do. But in my 29 years of wisdom, I finally slowed down and realized you can learn so much from the earth. And all I wanted to do was like throw on a flannel, and like, I grew my hair out like everyone else did in quarantine, and I grew the stash, and I was just like full like earth mode. You know what I mean? And so anyway, so I go to New York, and it was just I can't talk about it enough. Like, it was the most fulfilling, growing experience I could have possibly even imagined. And I got more than I would have imagined. I go home every year, twice a year, but this experience, to be home for 2 months with truly nothing to do, because what happened in the pandemic is that we truly had nothing to do.
Right.
It's not like we go home and things were happening. You can go clubbing, you know, go to the bars. There was no bars open. There was no escape from being with yourself and being with just the family around you in my home. Like, you know, it was very scary. We didn't know if we could invite other people over, you know, that time in the beginning when like we were really very social distanced, and we were really isolating ourselves and lockdowning and quarantining ourselves. So it was like the bare essentials. And so anyway, like, I, for the first time, just was like, I'm gonna go explore my backyard. What does my backyard look like? What does it feel like? We're just talking about walking around barefoot. And it was the spring, and so things were growing. And anyway, I started growing some basil and just helping my mom with the garden in the front. And oftentimes I equated true happiness with like booking a job, with being on. For a long time, could not reach that level of happiness from when I booked in like 2016. I had a major role, you know, incorporated. In those 2 months, I'm telling you, I felt happiness 10, happiness 11, happiness 12, dude. Like, I have not felt that happy in so long. Just like going to my grandpa's house, having some arroz con pollo, you know what I mean? Like, it was just the best feeling. And yeah, man, like, I just, you know, I hope that everyone gets a chance to like, or everyone did get a chance to like, go home and get away from the city, or get away from their industry sometimes. Like you're talking about, you really get perspective when you step back. You know what I mean? When you take the microscope and you just kind of, you know, zoom out, you realize how much you've accomplished. And so that was what that time was. It was incredible.
Yeah. So specifically about that experience, right? Like what was it, the difference of you, you know, because we take those things for granted sometimes, right? And we can get obsessed with our work or, you know, with trying to achieve something. So what was it specifically that shifted in you that at that moment you were like, you know what, I feel fulfilled just because of this? Like, how were you thinking? Like, what was the thought process behind that? And what was the shift of trying to achieve and like gain something and then actually just noticing and being like, I'm actually fulfilled just because I understand I'm a human being. And I, as a human being, I'm just because I'm breathing, I get to be fulfilled and happy.
It's a beautiful question. And I think it's a question that I think about. It's the idea of balance, right? It's the idea of like being a city boy and being so connected into the pulse of cities. You and I have gone, you've gone from Miami to Los Angeles. I mean, back, you know, to New York, we have touched.
Even London. We both did London.
Exactly. Right. We both did London. Like, we've always been in the pulse, in the center of that heartbeat. And I realize I love that. I need that. Mm-hmm. The opposite of that, right? The opposite of that coin is like being completely isolated, you know? So it was like the simplicity called to me. And once I made the shift from, God, there's so much, the rat race of being in LA and like, you know, all these auditions and booking, and now I got a job and things were going so well. And all of a sudden, God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, said, yeah, we're going to switch up your plans. We have a pandemic now. And like, I was making good money. I was working like 6 jobs in March. And then the day everything closed down, I lost like 4. And like auditions and everything was like just completely closed down. And that's it. You had to surrender to it. So that was the mind shift. Surrendering. And when I go to, when I went back to New York, I was angry. You feel a bunch of things. It was really a grieving process. I think all of us seeing friends, seeing family, jobs lost, things like that. The pandemic news every single day. And it wasn't until I just sat back and just like, I just breathed and surrendered and realized that I just had to be here, be right where my feet were. I couldn't be in the past anymore. I couldn't be in the future. I just had to be where my feet were. And that was in upstate New York with my brothers and my, you know, my family. And something interesting that happened too was like, I felt like I got more, I took more ownership of my creativity and what I was putting out.
Yes.
Because now that no auditions were coming in, and that's usually my outlet for acting, right? Or my outlet for my creative energy. I learned some sides. I get to go to an audition. I get to perform. Now I was like, yo, but how are you going to be creatively fulfilled, which is what I need, without an agent giving you work? Where can you get, right? Where can you give yourself the work, right? So I was coaching. I was learning monologues, being out in nature. I was paddleboarding, really following my curiosity. So when you surrender and you follow your curiosities, come out of that. Beautiful things come out of that. I get so excited from this. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and I hear that a lot of people from Los Angeles are moving out of Los Angeles because when you live in such a big city, you really do just get, you know, you get into this, you know, I think it's like what you were saying. It's a balance, right? Because it's not just nature and it's not just the city. It's how can I implement those two energies, right? That are just like the, you know, the fire and the excitement and the hustle and the networking and like the.
It lives between both of us, right? It lives in all of us, really. It lives in a lot of creatives. As creatives, we are constantly working the dual mind, left brain, right brain, the balance, right? The masculine, right. Feminine, right? Like the yin and the yang. I mean, you can go down the list of all this balance talk that people have been, thinkers have been philosophizing about for centuries. And I think creative people are at the very center of that dichotomy and that conversation where we are constantly being like, I need to network. I need to, how do I brand myself? And how do I stay connected to my creativity? How do I feel? How do I listen for the muse? Right? The muse, right? The nature that brings beauty in from us. Like, how do you hear the music within you? All that other beautiful stuff that's very important to the branding stuff and all that other left brain things. I don't know if people talk about that very often. I don't know.
No, they don't, because I and the way that I like to do it, and obviously as I've tapped into my intuitive gifts, I've realized that, I mean, creatives are highly intuitive people. Actors, the reason why people love actors so much is because we can feel everything. We can feel the other person, right? We can feel, like when you watch a character on screen, you love them because of their presence, because they are actually living the power of now, right? Yeah. So it's so, and so people get obsessed with watching and really viewing that. But the trick is understanding that you can actually do that yourself by practicing it.
Yeah, absolutely. How can people practice that? Like people who aren't artists or people who aren't actors?
Definitely. I think meditation definitely helps. I think meditation, and I actually think something that's very undermined is hobbies, because everyone is creative. Every single person is creative. And when you tap into your creativity, for me at least, it's totally intuitive. There's like a whole conversation, right? I think Elizabeth Gilbert, she has this book called Big Magic, and she talks about the creative, you know, the creative bubble being this like different like dimension source, you know, where you're just kind of tapping in and getting creative ideas. And I don't think, and I think that now the opportunity is for us to artistically express ourselves, because now we all have phones and media, and people love to like make fun of like content creators or people that are constantly on Instagram. But like, people are making stories. Like, people are getting so creative these days with photography, with creating a platform, with like all of these things. And
yes, it could be overwhelming sometimes, but like how beautiful that now people can actually express themselves creatively, right? Just because, and the difference is not to try to gain something from it, right? Not to gain followers or likes or whatever. Do it because you're passionate about it.
Yes. Yeah. You bring up many, many great points. And like one of the things I think happens, and I'm guilty of it, is I can get very pessimistic about technology and the mm-hmm. future. And I think what you just touched upon is all the positive and all the optimistic ways that technology has given us an opportunity to express ourselves through, to connect how we're connecting right now, to connect with people on Instagram. There is a different, like the yin and yang, there is a beautiful side of social media. There is a beautiful side of technology. Mm-hmm. And I think tapping into that, and I have to remind myself, like you just reminded me to always kind of look at that. There is a beautiful side to it. It's
totally
not all about just them like collecting data and like, you know, and us struggling to be seen, you know what I mean? They're you
totally,
know,
anyway, I think it's all about the intention that you set,
That's right.
If you're creating content because you are seeking validation, and if you're seeking likes, and if you're seeking whatever, right? Or you want to be famous or what? I mean, and listen, there's nothing wrong with being famous. And I always say this, like, if you have a strong desire to be famous, especially with actors, ask yourself why. What is the reason that you want to be famous, right? Because if it's for attention, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. However, if you want to be famous because you want to help and be of service to a mass audience, that is very different. And you can connect to that very deeply by being introspective with yourself and kind of starting to rethink what is my purpose in my life. And I always like to tell people, what is the legacy that you like to leave behind? Right. And that's not a concept that a lot of younger people think about, because it's not until you get into like your late 30s to 40s that I found that people actually start thinking, what is the legacy that I want to leave behind? However, that is the key to great leadership, right? All leaders, when you feel called, and it doesn't matter, like you can be a leader in your family, you can be a leader in your community. Like we all have the ability to lead. But if you ask yourself, like, what legacy do I want to leave behind? Meaning, what person do I want to be in the world? And not feel like you have to constantly be there for other people and like only be there, be of service for other people, but find that harmony and balance between taking care of oneself, which I don't think we really have been taught to do. I know this self-care thing has been thrown around a lot. And it's like, what really is self-care? But it's actually asking yourself, like, what are my needs? And how can I provide for my own needs and not constantly just be paying attention to everybody else's needs and then putting yourself last and then becoming depleted.
I've thought about a lot about that. And it's in my therapy and in my coaching, I've been coached by a life coach. And it was an issue that I dealt with for very long, was always pleasing others, right? Mm. Always looking for validation from others. And that comes from some of the childhood traumas that I dealt with. Mm. And like, I don't know, one of the things I learned about that was just that it comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of feeling that you are not enough and that your truth isn't safe. And many times when you're a child and you go through some trauma, you're told your truth is not safe. Like, you know what I mean? You do what you're told. You can't speak up. So you start suppressing that from an early age. So if anything in your life as an adult comes, you're just like, yes, okay, I'll do it. And you're like, whoa, why did I say yes? But we're conditioned from that early time and we're afraid of confrontation and we're afraid of speaking our voice. So many people don't use that voice. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, in terms of like pleasing others, I think that it comes from a place of like fear and not feeling like your truth is safe. And so I'll repeat that to myself. That's my mantra. Mm. My truth is safe. I'll just make sure that I know I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, totally. I'm enough.
Yeah, when when I'm feeling activated, when I'm like that Natalia, like, then I'm like, oh, here she comes. I have to tell myself, like, I have to be like, whoa, what's going on? Is this me? Is this an old pain? Is this
is this like, what am I reacting to? And talking to that inner child, kind of like what we were talking and nurturing it and just like feeling the safety of it. Right. Because there's so much in the process of it. And, but I do want to say, I want to deeply commend you for being very courageous to going and seeing a therapist and having a life coach. So I think that there are many, many young men, or many men in general, that have this fear of really working on themselves and actually going down and like going into that fear and into that dark space. So what would you tell, you know, men, you know, in the world that are very resistant? Because that's kind of like what happens. Like, I think a lot of women in relationships, especially, like, they're like, okay, well, you got to go to a therapist. And like, men are, it's something that we definitely need to shift in the system, because I don't know where it comes from. So I'm curious on your thoughts on that.
To me, the first thing that pops up in my head is it's two words. It's generational trauma. Mm. And you have to ask yourself, do you want to be a proponent of perpetuating the same generational trauma? And generational trauma can be amongst things that you discuss. It can be financial trauma. How is your parents' relationship with money? That it's funny how that trickles down into your relationship with money. I'll never have enough. Money doesn't grow on trees. You know, what do you think? I'm made of money. And so you start living from a place of scarcity rather than abundance. Just, and other things in terms of relationship, you know what I mean? Like divorce, that's a huge one. I don't want to get married but one time, Natalia. I don't want to deal with it more than once. Like, I want to find that person, and that's why I'm 29 and not married. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm still looking, I'm still experiencing myself. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to do it like the generations before us who, right, it was a different time. They got married at 21 years old, didn't know themselves. And I'm speaking from my own experience. My mom totally. Was 21 when she had me, 23 by the time she had my other brother, and already divorcing her husband at 23 years old.
That's highly traumatic. I mean, that's like...
Can you remember where you were at 23? I'm just figuring out things about myself now, like barely.
Right. But let me think about that. Where was I at 23? Right. Was I in LA yet? We right. were doing some stupid shit. So me and Eddie yeah. go way back. We lived through our stupidity and the stupid things that we've done. And like...
Right. I mean, you knew me back in the day. I knew you. Like, we knew what we were doing at 23. And could you imagine two children where your job is to rub off on them and to teach them and nurture them? Imagine if you're going through all this stuff, your own personal things, how can you teach that next generation? So that's my, so back to your question about men going to therapy, it's 2020, it's almost 2021. That stigma of the head shrinker, that's over. You know what I mean? Like, move on with the times or get left behind. And I think women are awakened now to the man who is taking care of themselves. We're not, I, you know, obviously there's still some devastating relational things that are happening still in the world, like abuse and things like that. But, it's not the same time where women are just going to, you know, kind of go along with the same old, you know, the Me Too movement has changed the face of our industry and the face of just women's rights moving forward. You know what I mean? Like, it's beautiful that that's happening. So it's like, I really just recommend to men to get on that train and to dig deep into their own traumas. It could be scary. It definitely was. And then,
So how did you get past that moment? Right. So it's like, if I'm a person, man or woman, that is, you know, first of all, people think that they have to have a problem, right, to go to therapy or get help, right? But and we'll talk about this, about your spiritual awakening and what that really looks like for you. So what starts happening? Like, what's your thought process and your mentality right before of like, I'm scared of this, or like, I need to do this, and actually taking the action to do it?
For me, it's always been a strong faith, and a strong faith that the net will appear. So jumping off my edge point, that's what that is, right? Like, fear is a natural reaction to show you this is your edge. And the minute you say, I'm okay, my truth is safe, inner child, I got you, don't worry, let me go do this rock climbing. Let me do this scary audition. I've been to some scary auditions, but let me go to therapy. And the net will appear. I think it's been that unwavering faith that I will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I've also seen the other side, and it feels great to just have someone as a sounding board to express thoughts that aren't necessarily, they're not supposed to just sit in our head, you know what I mean? Or in our gut. Like, we're supposed to express some of these things. You ever walk around and you've got a million things going on?
Oh, yeah.
And then you write them down and you just feel so much lighter. And so I encourage any man who's got something in their Adam's apple that they just want to expel, they want to get rid of, to seek out a therapist and speak to someone. And you don't have to share that thing that you're being bothered by immediately. Talk about your day. And you'll realize how slowly, like, maybe something from your day is triggered to that thing that you've been holding on to. And slowly you start peeling away at the layers of your soul and of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and actually what I used to do, right, is that I used to use my friends as venting mechanisms, right? So, and like almost like therapists, you know, before I had one, I would just call them and vent and whatever. And that's totally fine because they can hold space for you. But then when I started having a therapist, I said, oh my God, I don't have to call my friends every single time that there's an issue. I would write all of these like things that were just like coming up for me. I would write them down and then I would address them in therapy. Like, how amazing that you have a person that you can address these things with and not just like it's almost like a sacred little time and space for you to just like think about those.
Container. And that container is exactly what you're saying. It's sacred. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh my God. And then you feel safe and you're just like, you can relax and you can be like, okay, now I can move on with my day.
Sure. Right. And you leave it there, right? You leave it there. I mean, sometimes I listen, you can't help but it trickles now. Like sometimes I'll laugh to myself, like I'll express all this stuff to my therapist and now she doesn't have to deal with it. But now I'm dealing with all the kind of the residue in the day. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, great. I'm in a bad mood again. Like that shit happened on Tuesday and I brought it up on a Thursday and now I'm reliving it now for the next like 30 minutes. And listen, it'll pass, right? Then you find other things to move that energy, right? Mm-hmm. Some other movement, some other running, some other hobbies like you talked about. Mm-hmm. I call them curiosities and ways to kind of channel that negative emotion and just move it. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. bad. It's just, how can you move it so it's not just like stuck and making you go through the world with resistance and resentment? Because life is short. You know what I mean? Life is short and you got to grab the bull by the horns, all those beautiful sayings. You got
to.
And a lot of those traumas can hold you back from doing any of the greatest things that you want to achieve. And it comes back to that fear and resistance.
Yeah. What resists persists. So whatever it is that you're resisting is what you're supposed to be doing, but your ego is getting in the way and just being like, no. And when you actually, it's like talking about the edge, right? When you start doing that thing that you're resisting or fearful of, that's actually how you heal. You can heal by actually just being like, oh my God, I'm deeply afraid of it. And then doing it because then you're rewiring your brain and being like, wait a second. Oh, that's not so scary. So you're proving to yourself over and over and over again. And then you do something that scares you even more. And sometimes that could even be, you know, how we talk about just like doing a video and being vulnerable. Like it could be as simple as that, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, you know, what a, your intuition is for you and what your spiritual journey and awakening has been.
So I'll start with the second question. And it's, if I can tell this quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's September 15th and it's the day before my birthday. Mm. And, I hadn't booked anything for a minute and I was really, one of the things I learned in my 2 month stint, which was right before that mm-hmm. was like, I am not just an actor. I am a son. I am a gardener now. I am many other things. And that brought me so much peace. But I am still an actor. And so when I got back and the town started picking up again, it's September 15th and I booked a guest star role on Shameless. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm like, wow, you know, thank you acting gods. Like this is a great birthday present. The next day is my birthday. And you know, great day. I'm happy about Shameless. And around 4 p.m., I get the news that my father passed away. And I hadn't spoken to him for 6 months. And he didn't call me for my birthday. You know, he usually calls me like a couple days before as like a terrible dad joke. And he didn't call me. We hadn't spoken. I didn't tell him about Shameless, and he passed away. So now I'm thinking, what the hell? Like, what? Like, you know, now you're just like, what does this even mean? You're just trying to make meaning of it and sense of it. And so my spiritual awakening, it really came from my reawakening. There's been many moments in my life where like something impactful has happened, and I just always come back to God. And Stephen Furtick is this pastor that I follow, Elevation Church. He's awesome. And one of the things he said recently was, not every disruption is a distraction. And my father passing away was a major disruption. I was working. I was doing fine. We were all getting along with our lives, my family. And now I have to stop everything and I have to go back to New York. I just came back from New York and I have to go back for my father's funeral to lay my father to rest. And I have to take 2 weeks off of work. And it's just like, I also, so ultimately I lose the Shameless job. They were like, listen, we have to take it because of COVID and not enough testing time for you to come back. So I lose that job. And again, I'm like, what, God? I'm praying every day at this point. And I'm just like, God, what does this mean? Like, why? So anyway, what, going back to that quote, is that not every disruption is a distraction. And in fact, I got closer to God in my father's passing. And ultimately that's what God wants, right? Is a connection from you to him. And it brought me closer. I have not stopped praying and deeply every single day and asking those questions like you talked about. What is my purpose? What does this mean? What does this, what does it all matter? What shall I choose? Those questions, those really deep questions, not just like, oh, can I get another something? You know what I mean? And a month after he passed away, on the day, 10/16 now, I book a huge national commercial. 2 days later, I book another show. And it, you know, it's the power of prayer and the power of spirituality and the power of faith is integral to being an artist. I've done it without it. And I've been in dark places where it's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to pray. You know, this is all on me. I'm a lone wolf. And
it's all bullshit.
Yeah, thank you. Like, there's no way to, it's all bullshit. Like it doesn't mean anything if you're not connected to your source, right? It doesn't mean anything if you're not connected to your purpose and connected to a higher power and connected through prayer and meditation. It doesn't mean anything. You know, cause not even on booking wise, I'm just so grateful. And, just the littlest things have been happening for me, and just those moments of prayer. Like I would not go through my day without praying. It just, it fulfills me and fuels me in such a way. And of course I miss my father and I would rather him be here, but in a way the gift from my father's passing, if it's a connection close to God right now, to my source, that it feels like that's a good consolation prize in a way. You know what I mean? It feels like it's something that is healing to helps me heal myself through this time. And yeah. And not every disruption is a distraction. Now that my dad's gone, we didn't get any millions of dollars inheritance. I was like, yo man, like now you got you're 29. It's time to grow up. Like I can't rely on him anymore now. I have to rent. I can't be like, hey dad, I didn't make it this month. You know, can you throw me money? Like, or hey dad, I need you for this. Like now I have to just feel it here. I have to, you know, kind of feel it from the inside and work hard and all that other stuff. It really just lit a fire under my own butt. So that was a very interesting spiritual awakening, and I've had many throughout my time. You know, I was in a bad car accident in Syracuse, and I remember, I could have died, dude. Like that wasn't me. Like I wasn't like, you know, that was completely Jesus took the wheel. And I remember like, and then literally
Jesus took the wheel.
Jesus took the wheel because, and it's like, and then I was just praying nonstop and I was like, thank you. Oh my God. Because like to the year of that day is when I booked my first agent and manager here in Los Angeles. Mm. I moved to LA and to the day was like, I booked my first, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, it's just crazy how prayer and spirituality and connection to faith switches your whole life around, right?
Totally. And it's those big moments, where you are met with death, right? They don't need to happen in order for you to, I mean, they might happen because you needed to wake up, but the more that you're connected to source, the more that you're connected with faith, God, Buddha, whatever it is that you connect to, because like us, you know, I think I was raised Catholic and I don't personally connect with the church, but if that's your modality, then do it. I connect with Buddhism. I connect with, with meditation. I connect with channeling. I connect with saints. I connect with spirits. I connect. There's so many different ways and it's all about what works for you. As long as you're connected to having faith and something outside of yourself and believing and trusting, because why do we need to analytically understand something? Like, why can't we just have surrender and have faith, right?
Yeah.
So Eddie, I think 4 years ago, interviewed me for his podcast, The Modern Actor. And literally, I think it's like the best story. And we're going to definitely show a clip. And this clip is amazing because because I talk about, you know, Nichiren Buddhism. And then Eddie's like, oh, like we need another podcast to talk about this.
Next time we'll come, we'll talk about the Buddhists. And, we'll talk about all that and what you're doing and you're a little yogi,
I'm,
I guess.
Trying to create balance.
And then 4 years later, here we are. Because so me and Eddie, we split up, me and you, for like about like 2 and something years. Meaning like we just disconnected, like we just weren't talking. And for no apparent reason, it just, you know, sometimes friendships, they come and they go. And that's the beauty of friendships as well, that we don't have to like, when I saw you, I wasn't like, fuck you, Eddie, what the hell? Like, why didn't you come? Like, we were like, oh my God, hi.
Like no time had passed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like no time had passed. And I had learned that Eddie became an Nichiren Buddhist.
Yes. I think when you hit me with that, it was because like, I think we're all connected. Right. And like everything was connected. And like, I was in a place of like searching for meaning. I was in a place of just searching, and Buddhism really started like just coming into my, like, I had a book on Buddhism in my bookshelf, in my apartment that I couldn't even tell you where it came from. I'm like, when did this? And I'm like, why? Okay. But I'm going to start. And then you mentioned your Buddhism and like, and, as I was doing, some Postmate or Instacart, whatever side hustle I was doing at the time. And literally I'm in the hills and someone just, I opens the door and looks at me and goes, you, what are you, an actor? I was like, oh yeah, I'm an actor. You know, cool. And anyway, she introduces me to the Nichiren Buddhism and like SGI and the whole thing. And then we reconnected. And then anyway, it was just like crazy, just like full circle how that all came about. And I truly was searching. And the source said, like, here you go. You know what I mean? Like what you put out, you know what I mean? You receive. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great. And
that's manifesting, right? That's like the big woo woo manifesting. Like that's what it is. Right. But going back to your car accident, we don't need these signs to get bigger and louder and louder and louder and louder. We constantly are not listening to our own intuition, right? So let's talk about the importance of actually paying attention to the signs, because the universe is always talking to us.
Always. Sure, yeah. But if we don't pay attention, things get bad.
And then they get worse. And then they get worse. And then like catastrophe happens. And then maybe people wake up. And then people still don't wake up. Right. And then people get sick. And then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So how has it, you, through this whole journey and your spiritual awakening, right? How do you listen to signs, pay attention to them, and then act on them?
I think the beauty about being an actor and the thing that I love about actors is that we have to listen. It's part of our trade.
Mm.
It's inherent. You can't be a good actor if you're not listening. You talk about presence. The only reason you're being present is because you're listening for something. You're listening for cues. You're searching, you're scanning the whole body. When I'm following you, I'm looking at you from your toes up to your head. I am fully invested in you. And I think actors are some of the most phenomenal people, and I love actors. I just think we have to be, anyway, I can go on and on about like how much I love working with actors and I love being amongst actors, but listening is integral into our blood. You know what I mean? So one of the things that just happened is like listening to my curiosities is one day I'm doing another side hustle and I see these birds and I'm like, I want to buy a bird feeder. And I'm here in LA. And so that day I listened to my inner artist, my inner child, and I go to Petland or whatever, Petco or whatever. I get a bird feeder, fill it up. Petland's an East Coast place. I fill it up with the seeds and I hang them up. Anyway, I had a friend in New York that was into bird watching. And so there's three levels in my opinion of listening. There's some people, the most bottom level is when you're out in nature, you don't hear anything at all. Mm. You don't hear the birds. You don't hear the babbling brook. You don't hear the waterfall. You don't hear the ocean crashing. Your living is so just myopic and you're in your own bubble. I think that's the lowest vibration level of listening. The second level is, oh, okay, I recognize I hear a sound, but I'm not putting any real detail to it. So I'm listening to a bird. All right, I don't really know what bird that is, but I can hear it. And then the third level is now you are differentiating each bird call. Mm. That is a red robin. That is the blue crested warbler, whatever. That level of listening is phenomenal because now you're truly, truly listening. I don't know, you know, like, so anyway, when you're talking about the signs, there's people that do not see any signs and I feel for those people. We can talk about different lives. Maybe they're here for the first time. They're not getting any signs. They're just bumping into things. They're not making any connections. They have no intuition. They are just living for the first time here.
No, but that's not true. Everyone has intuition. Everyone, even if this is your first time, even if this is your first time on Earth, the universe is still talking to you. You know, it's like you're still getting it.
I think some people might be blocked sometimes. That's just my opinion. Sometimes
they're definitely blocked, but they are definitely getting signs. And it's that gut feeling. It's that like that inner voice.
Right. And then I guess what happens is some people will kind of push away those gut feelings. And exactly. We've all been there, right? Where you're like, no, I know this person isn't right for me and my gut's telling me no, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Like, let me see how I can get my heart broken. We do it, right?
Let's have a really shitty time in this relationship.
Exactly. Let me just do the exact same patterns I did with the last relationship. This is great. And
Really quick about that. One of my coaches, she says, when we get hurt, it's when we go against our heart's wisdom.
Amazing.
So when we know something and when we know that that relationship is bad for us, because no one ever does anything to us to hurt us, right? We choose to feel hurt, right? Which I think is like a whole other topic about that definitely now I want to do like an episode on rewiring how in society people have taught us that other people make us feel our emotions. Like, oh, like Eddie, like you pissed me off. Like you're the reason I'm mad. No, I'm the reason I'm mad. Not you. You just triggered something in me, right? So when we know something, right, then when we are connected to this wisdom and being like, nope, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And then we do it anyway. And then we get hurt. And then that thing, it hurts us. The reason we're getting hurt is because we allowed it to happen. Because we knew and we went against what our inner system was telling us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't have to suffer. That's why when people say happiness is a choice, like that's what they're talking about. Like you can actually choose by making the choices in your life to get out of suffering, absolutely. to get help, to get connected. It's like we all have the power to really shift our lives.
Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, I've been reading these like recitations and learning these speeches from like just different thinkers and writers throughout history. And one of the ones I'm trying to memorize right now is from that book, Man's Search for Meaning. Mm. And he wrote this book based on concentration camp members during the Nazi regime, you know, during the World War II and people, Jewish people in the camps. And he talked about each human is given the freedom of choice and the choice of their attitude. He said, you could either succumb to, he was pondering this. Are humans inherently it's unavoidable that they're going to be affected by their surroundings. And he realized at the very end that no, that's not true, because he saw beautiful things happening even amongst such ugliness. People were taking off the only shirt that they had, giving up the only piece of bread they had. Beauty was still happening amongst this ugly time. So it's all a choice of attitude, right? Like, your attitude is something that you can choose. And yes, happiness is something that you can choose. Because what you just said was nothing, and I live by this, I will not let someone affect the way I feel. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's just, even though I'm an actor and I'll do it during the scene, but the way I live, like, it, you know, because then you're being pulled in so many different directions. What is your base? You know what I mean? What's your tree trunk? What's your foundation? What's your truth that you know is safe?
Yeah. And also, learning to trust ourselves. I don't know where it got missed, that we can't trust ourselves, or that, like, that voice, that we can't trust it. Like, we have to seek other people's opinions. Like, if we didn't have all the answers inside. And in Buddhism, that's what they teach us, that we are God, right? That God is in, that God is within us, that the answers are within us. If we just sit down and listen, but people are terrified of quieting down their thoughts. But if you're scared of that, it means that it's really time for you to do it.
Yeah. To that point, I want to take away the stigma. Like, part of my work and part of the thing that I didn't even realize I was doing, and you've commented on before, is time in solitude. And I used to be known as, like, the ghoster of the party. And I used to be known, like, I've had girlfriends tell me, used to tell me, like, yo, you just ghosted. And I've had, you know, and for a long time, I would think it was like, actually, I didn't really ever get too, I thought about it. I didn't let really, like, man, like, I must be the worst person. I didn't think that way. But I had girlfriends in the past telling me, like, oh, why do you only keep hanging out with the same four people? And I used to feel some type of way, like, maybe I need to be that guy who has, like, 50 friends. But I felt like I'd rather give more of myself to a small amount of people than a little bit of myself to 50 people, just to say that I know all these people. Yes, we've been put into lockdown right now. And so if this is something that's scary, then it's something that you probably do need to experience, a little bit of solitude. People do the opposite and they're just always with people and they never get a chance of just quietude. I take a lot of solo road trips, and it's not to disregard anyone else, but, like, when that trigger comes up, like, yo, Eddie, you need to go out on your own and you need to ghost a party, or you need to just only hang out with three people because of the proximity principle. I ain't trying to get mad, different opinions. I know who I am. That's all I want to live in my, you know, my sphere here. You know, that I think there was, like, a big stigma a long time ago of, like, being, like, isolated, and, you know, it's a balance. I'm not saying be, like, antisocial, but you have to listen to that voice that says, like, I need just a day to myself. Like, I don't need to go to the party. I don't need to go on this trip.
And not to feel the social pressure. Like, there's no, like, it's okay if you put a boundary and say, you know what, actually, let me listen to my body. Let me listen to what, going back to my needs. What are my needs? Right? My needs. Do I need to stay in? Do I need some sunshine today? Do I need, you know, what is it that I need? Another person isn't going to get offended by you doing that. Right?
Yeah.
But in the world of ghosting, let's talk about that. Eddie is like prime motherfucking ghoster.
Hot seat? What is it? All right, go. What?
Yeah. What, like, so, because, I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people, they ghost. Right? And it's, like, not cool. So what do you think, where do you think it comes from? Like, why do you think ghosting happens? Like, or, I mean, cause you know, I mean, I think, you know.
Well, I'm not talking about our trending ghosting of, like, ghosting someone that you're talking to. I'm a ghoster of, like, parties. So, like, the minute I'm ready, like, Eddie needs to get out of there. Like, Eddie needs to, like, save himself, like, for saving face, or, like, I'm just over it. My grandfather's like this. I realized he doesn't need to go around and, like, say, like, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye now. Like, there's just that feeling of, like, all right, like, I'll see these people again. I'm going to go on my own, you know, like, I'm ready. And so I truly do listen to that voice that says, like, your truth is safe. You're ready to go. No matter if they say, like, yo, where'd you go? Eddie needed to go. I needed to go. Sorry. Like,
yeah.
I
just,
ready to go. Like I had, you know what I mean? Like no love lost, much love. I just had to move on.
Totally. And yeah. No, and it's totally a difference in perspective, which is good, right? Because like in my opinion, I'm like, I have to let the other person know that I'm leaving. Right. But so we have, which is beautiful. Obviously we're not all here to have the same perception of whatever. And the beauty of that is that like me knowing Eddie, and I know he's a ghoster. I know that about him. Right. So it's like, I'm not getting triggered. Right. If he doesn't come and say bye to me, like, I'm just like, oh, he probably just left. Or I check in on him or whatever and be like, hey, are you okay? Whatever.
I will let you guys know that I have gotten better at it because you brought it up to me years ago. I now will say goodbye and like maybe even be the last person at the damn party. Okay. Like, all right. I've worked on it, but I don't do that. That I don't respect. I don't like that.
Yeah. Why do you think people do that? Is fear?
It's completely fear of like going too far, too vulnerable, too quickly. I don't know, that's a great question. I think people have been pondering it since it's been happening. It's not a great feeling, I'll tell you that much. I've had it done to me and it's just like there's shame and guilt triggered into it now. Like, oh my God, why did I get abandoned? You know what I mean? Like, oh, please. You know what, there's a lot going on, and I think our society needs to man up or woman up, even, you know, just face, own up to something. If you're not feeling someone, then just let them know. Like,
let them know. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with speaking your truth. And if the other person gets upset, that you have to be okay with speaking your truth and being honest. Because I think it goes back to honor, being honest and integrity.
Yes. Yep. Very good. Yep. I agree.
Integrity. Yeah. Like be an integral person, a person of integrity. You know, when you have these thoughts and you just want to like take the easy way out, like why? Like, yeah. Like it's not that hard, right? It's like, it's a connection with another person, and being honest and vulnerable is safe. And people have been saying it over and over and over again. Like you find, I think, freedom in your vulnerability, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with that, I mean, I love talking. I mean, me and you always get into like the masculine, feminine conversations. And just so I think that it's really interesting. I was asking Eddie before we started, you know, that feeling. So because we've both been learning about the feminine and the masculine energy and the, you know, the balance of it. Right. So, and I was saying like, when you go out with someone sometimes and you share so intimately and you like, you open up, a male and a female are going to have different perspectives, right? The female is going to long want more, right? And it's in our nature and it's normal. And then the male maybe needs some like separation and like space. And it's important for us to start understanding the roles of the other person, regardless if you're male or female, it's whatever energy you identify with, right? So it's feminine is the receiving, the nurturing end. And then the masculine is like action oriented. And we both have both in our body, but it's like, we identify with one more than the other.
Right.
And for women, I think it's important for us to be okay with whatever feeling is coming up, you know? And because I think that a lot of men, you know, as they become more healed masculine, they get in touch with their femininity. And that's a really beautiful thing, right? Because I think that women need to, I remember I used to feel so bad for crying in public and whatever, because guys, it's like emotions, but emotions are beautiful. They're wonderful. I've become like a great crier. Like I cry now and I'm just like, I'm crying and it's like really beautiful and whatever. And like, and if a guy, so here's a question. Why do guys get so uncomfortable when women cry?
Because guys think we have to fix everything. Mm. So we see crying as something, just another job for us to fix. And it's not. Let that person, let her express herself in that moment. And all you have to do is be a container for it. Be the wall or whatever. Just be there for her. Put an arm and just rub her back and just, you know, but we want to be like, you know, why are you crying? You know what? You could have done this. I told you not to do that. I told you so. Like we, you know, it's just, we're taught to always be the fixer. And sometimes guys' job is to just shit the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like just be quiet and be there. And I had to learn that in my relationships. But I think it definitely makes us feel, it makes us feel like we have something, a job to do. I know that's something for me. I wonder if it triggers anything like in ourselves, you know what I mean? Like, oh God, I don't want to have that emotion. That's something I suppress. Or you don't do that in public, right? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe something about, like, boys don't cry. Mm. And and we, I don't know. It's something I'd have to definitely sit with.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely tell you the first part is like, we want to fix you.
Right. Right. Of course, because that's how the masculine sees things. It's like problem solution. Like this person is crying, but here's the secret sauce.
Yeah, give us the rub here. Give us the secret here.
Yeah. Women, when we cry, we're not trying to be fixed. We're just trying.
I think it's, for me, crying is like, it's a release of emotion. It has to move through me. And it's such a shame when men put down women for feeling something or being called, I've been called dramatic so many times, you know, and I've been called like,
crazy.
Why do men call women crazy? Because we feel it's not a good look, guys, because it doesn't make us feel,
yeah,
it doesn't make us feel vulnerable enough to then share those things with us. And then we become hard, and then we become like, okay, well now I have to be tough, like the masculine, because like, I'm not crazy. Right.
And then it makes us like, you know, harden. And then in the reality, what do men really want from women? The softness, the openness, the invitation, right? I like, what's the beauty when you now see in feminine women? So what is that for you? Like
full expression of femininity, like no restraint on that. I am 100% captivated by dancing and movement in that way. If a woman is in her body and she's unapologetic about her femininity and just expressing herself in that way, I mean, it's like a honey to a bee. You know what I mean? I'm so attracted to it. I'm really attracted to that.
And what is femininity to you? Like, what is that like thing that you
in myself or something I recognize in the other?
In the other. That is like that honey that you're like, oh, I want that.
I think being unabashedly themselves, right? Being unapologetically themselves and being completely ownership of their body. I tend to, because I think I'm a cooler energy, I tend to like the fiery energies. I like to, if you're a little off kilter to me, that's something that I'm attracted to. I'm like, oh, because I don't live like that. I'm very practical, pragmatic. I mean, right. You know, we talk about the Virgo and all that stuff. Like I need order and stability. But funnily enough, like they say, opposites attract. Anybody who's a little bit off that, I'm like, wait a minute, that caught my attraction. I think it's like in the bird community, although it's reversed, birds, male birds have the beautiful plumage, right? They have all the different colors and they shine in different ways. And I think that's in our culture, women are like that, right? The beautiful earrings you're wearing, your necklace, mm-hmm. your makeup, your hair, anything. It doesn't even have to be anything like that. But like, even internally, I think a woman can express that, can express those lights and really triggers me and really like lights me up. I don't know. It's
totally. Absolutely. Right?
And for me, right, the masculine, what's attractive is like, and what I go crazy for is like someone that shows up, someone that like answers, someone that's like, I'm available, someone that like, I had someone recently, like, and it was like with a business relationship, but it was, he wrote to me, we were like talking back and forth. It's a person I'm going to have on the podcast. And literally we were talking back and forth, and then I wrote him a message, and then like he disappeared for the day. And then I was just like, oh, like what? I didn't think twice of it, but he acknowledged it. And he said, what did he say? Like the message was so concrete. He said, hey, I've been busy. I didn't forget about you. And I promise that I'm going to write to you first thing in the morning. That to a woman is like, it's acknowledgement. There's no blame. He acknowledged that he was busy. He's like, acknowledged, like, I didn't forget about you. And then he gave me a promise of when to expect something, because women to be in this that you're talking about, in this like flavor of self-expression and you know, of flow, we need direction. We need that masculine energy of just like force and strength, so we can be like this, or else we feel like we have to be that. So if the opposite is providing that for a woman, that's when we open up. And it's it. Yeah.
What it sounds like to me is that it doesn't necessarily mean aggressive. It means direct and intentional. Is that true? Or you do like, is it aggressiveness?
No, it has nothing to do with aggressiveness. No, it has to do with presence and with acknowledgement, right? Like just acknowledging something, like he didn't apologize also. So there's no apology. He didn't do anything wrong, but there is,
But there was like a, we were communicating, and then there was a moment where it stopped. So he acknowledged it and he said, I got busy, but I'm going to give you an expected time for when we're going to talk. And that just like makes me so feel so soft. Right.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. So it's like, so, and it's those simple things.
Then like, we love to get approached and get taken off of our thing because we want to be in our own world. But if we feel like we have to do something in order to get your attention, that's a, you know, it's not sexy for us.
I totally understand that. I think in today's society, I think we have to recalibrate that, what you're talking about, that approach. And, we're navigating what it means to be a man in this world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Feminism is something that should be absolutely applauded and lived out to its fully. And then, but I also think that men now feel like we have to kind of cower behind our own instincts and how to approach a woman. And we're all going to school right now. Women and men are going to school again. But I have hope. I have hope.
Yeah, me too.
If anyone's growing, if anyone's keeps doing the work, I think you'll vibrate with those people that you're supposed to vibrate with and who you're aligned with.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Eddie, I want to say thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I always like to end it like this. Dance party! Because life is a party.
One More Town, baby. My favorite song. That is so good. Oh, I love this song. Brings us back all the way. It's nostalgic. A good sound. One more
time. Oh. Listen, because life is a journey. And we got to dance to it.
Man, so good. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love you so much. And yeah, it's about remembering that we, you know, we have to have fun on this journey. Yeah, and the healing is hard and shit's hard, but we also have to laugh and just connect. And because that's the choice, right? That's the choice of happiness.
I love that. That's a great way to end it. That is beautiful. Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And let's definitely do this again. I loved it.
Yes. And please, like, you know, if anyone wants your coaching, if anyone wants to check you out, like, how can anyone find you?
Sure. So I'm at themodernactor.com, and that's my coaching website. You can find articles. So different articles that I've written about acting. It's really been my journey and the journey of other actors in Hollywood. So any actor out there, any young artist, any artist really, who's just looking for any advice to, and pitfalls to avoid, come over to The Modern Actor, check out what I've got there. I've got some podcasts with yours truly, Natalia. You were my first episode on the podcast. You can go listen to that on iTunes, Modern Actor Podcast. Google me, Eddie Ramos, and I'm sure a bunch of other stuff will come up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all his spiritual teachings, he brings all of that into the coaching and so much more. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining. If you found this podcast enlightening, please like, subscribe, share, and follow Power of Your Intuition _podcast on Instagram. This is available on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, and you can join my newsletter at nataliaochoa.com.